of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Hello everyone, welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and tonight I'm hanging out with our buddy Nicholas Biela from the Alliance Council and Pub League, and wherever else you hang out, I guess.
Hey, Nick. Concerts, mostly concerts, you know.
Fuck yeah.
Hi. You know, can I just propose we open up these cans right now?
Let's do it at the same time.
Ooh, one, two,
three.
Yeah, I don't know. We almost had a Lethal Weapon moment there. We were almost like, wait, one, two, three, crack, or one, two, crack? Three.
Yeah, we looked, and then we just went for it.
We did gaze into each other's eyes quite, you know, seductively.
It's the glare in both our glasses. That did not happen. So your beer looks bubbly and...
This is actually a yonder. Really cool one. Yeah. So it's a Yonder Hard Cider. But what's really interesting is it's only sold, I believe, at Ken's Market up in Seattle, or up in Greenwood, Finneywood. It's a special collaboration with Ken's Market. Bright lemon and a hint of strawberry sing with subtle notes of basil. What's
sing
really great
with
about
subtle
this
notes
is none of that is heavy. Like if you get that wrong, like a little too much basil, a little too much strawberry, just maybe not that great. It's just a really nice, crisp cider. Really love it. I will definitely try and pick this one up again. What are you drinking?
Right. Rainier. I actually wanted to. I'm on daddy leave now. So again, I should say.
All right.
I'm off for 2 months. Spent the whole day with my now almost 4-month-old. And I was like, you know what? I want some nice beer. And we were gonna record. So I went to my local spot, Grape and Grain, that has like interesting things. So I was trying to look for something topical. And it looked a little different in there than it used to. But because normally it's just a store. You go in and you buy beer, wine, whatever, and you come out. And so I'm in there, and he's like, there's a lot less things to grab. And then the fridge was actually locked. And he's like, let me know what you want, and I'll let you have it. Well, that was a weird way to put it. and I found some, like, cool ones, like Not Dead Yet, which was a name of a beer. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that's a be topical for tonight. Turns out they'd, like, turned themselves into a restaurant. So he's like, just so you know, there's no takeout. And I'm like, okay. So... I can't take the beers with me from the store.
Okay.
So I had like three perfect beers, and he's like, no, we're a restaurant now. So like, I'm like, okay, that sucks. But I know there's some places like actual Scuttlebutt Brewery, no affiliation. You can buy a rack of their beer and also eat dinner there. So anyway, I just threw my hands in the air and went to 7-Eleven and got Rainier because whatever. I knew where it was. I knew they had it. And I wanted to make sure I got home before 9. So anyway, we're drinking beer. It is 10 p.m. on the 5th of June. And we got some scuttlebutt, some just news in the league, and there's some stuff in the Discord as well. But let's start with the All-Star game. First of all, What are your just like general feelings on the MLS All-Star game? Do you care? Do you find it interesting? Do you like the format?
Yeah, I am just disappointed that we've never hosted one. I just think it'd be a lot of fun.
Never thought about that.
But with that said, yeah, let's do it. Let's have some fun with it. You know, making sure no one gets more than a half in there, you know, taking care of people. I do like the Liga MX versus MLS version, that format. I do like that a lot.
I like it more now. This isn't the first time, and I feel like I've sporadically watched different All-Star games, and I can't really recall in what order. I'm interested for this one. I do like this format, but they did this last year, right?
Yeah, I think this might be about the third.
The third? Because I feel like there's one season of this before the League's Cup. And I feel like I like it better now with the League's Cup. Oh, my goodness. Ding dong. Someone's at the door.
Seattle.
And muted.
Is he muted or frozen?
I think he's frozen.
Well, that was, well, anyone. Anyway, that is Cameron Collins. Lions Council
you
president.
Guys can't hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you, but your image is frozen.
Oh, that's weird.
Dive on the
maybe
show.
Maybe because I'm on my phone, but I just said Seattle.
Oh, Sounders.
Yep.
That tracks.
I just wanted to tell you guys to have a good show, keep it going, and bring Gonzo home.
Actually, you know what, Cameron? You're gonna have to role play with me for a second here.
Okay.
You're listening to KSNDR, and with us we've got Cameron from Baltimore. Cameron, you're on the air.
Oh, hey guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks for calling. Yeah.
Super excited to be here. You know, I just wanted to say, you know, Gonzo Pineda was a great guy, and bring him back.
He was a good guy. Yeah, he was a good guy.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll take your comment, or we'll take our comments off the air for you there. Thanks for the call, Cameron. It's great to hear from you. Always good to hear people for calling from the.
Hey, drive safe, Cameron. Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Yep. Bye.
Sorry, with that audio great. Quality, all I could think of was AM radio. It's just very.
Was I playing a good Roz there? Just a good like.
Oh yeah.
Wow. By Cameron. All right.
He really. I don't think we were trying to kick him out. But yeah.
No. That was funny. That was awesome. That worked out perfectly. All right. Soccer.
Except the image was really disturbing. The way
he raises his hands over his mouth to yell Seattle, and it froze on that. So he was just his hands were in an O shape around his mouth for the entirety of that sketch.
I'm gonna put it politely, he looked like one of those Manamana Muppets, you know, with the big horn on his face.
Oh, I was thinking something else. I was trying
to be PG.
Let that checked. This show is now explicit. that was hilarious. All right, All Star. So yeah, you were saying you dig it, you like it, you'll watch it.
And
I agree with that. It's now that the League's Cup is a thing. And I don't mind it. I'm indifferent. It's still new. I'm not going to say I hate it. It is pretty long. But it is, maybe they did it every other year, but anyway, I like that. There's a reason for these two teams to compete in an All-Star game versus one's just on a tour. Right.
I don't like that format. That's my least favorite format where you're playing a Bayern or an Arsenal.
Yeah. That's bullshit. I think I watched the one in Portland where
Pep wouldn't shake.
Yeah.
That was worth it.
Caleb. That was hilarious.
Wouldn't shake Caleb's. Yeah. And Ozzy going in hard on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so, with that said, yeah, those formats I don't like because those players coming in from those teams are not going to. It's worse than a glorified exhibition. I would rather have just a East versus West, or even kind of like the NHL used to do in the 90s, where it's like, maybe let's go North America versus the world, you know, get your best Canadian, Mexican, and US players against everyone else, you know, maybe something like that. I don't know. Whatever the format is, give me a little bit of competition involved in it. And I think we're getting that with this current format.
Yeah. And they are a league that I would say, Well, I feel like our parody is superior to theirs. I feel like,
yes,
from
best team in the league to worst team in the league.
Right? Yes, I feel like there's more of a gradual trend upwards, right? Versus in Liga MX, I feel like there's terrible teams and some great teams, and they're fairly consistent.
And the converse is also true. While we have better parity from our best to our worst, they have better roster from their best to their worst versus us, where we have a top loaded best.
Very.
But then as you go down further, we don't have the depth. So there's trade-offs.
Yeah. I think they're the superior league at this moment, but I think, like, you know, you play them five times, we might win two of them.
I wish League's Cup would be home and away, and until that happens, we're never really going to get a true test. But I think overall, if we joined leagues into a super league, Liga MX would dominate because of the depth that you need for that. But in one-off tournaments, I think they have a slight advantage.
Then we might have a tangent. But if there's a super league, you think it would just be rosters as is, or would there be some sort of assimilation, like fantasy, like how we used to do? Or do, I don't know. Do we still do the expansion draft?
Yes, we do. But if there was a super league, if there was a super league,
protect 12 players, kind of thing.
The only way we would have the reason to do the Super League is what? Dollars. Is for money. It would have to be enough money where all the rosters would get a significant build, you know? So under that presumption, yeah, the rosters would change, but then they would presumably also have to come up with some sort of
interesting
format to make it apples to apples versus apples to oranges. Is it
it doesn't have to be even right away, but I think that from a bottom third of your roster, elevate that and even those out. That's it through a super draft type thing.
No, I guess the question I would have is, in this scenario, are we presuming that there would be all teams from both leagues in this league, or would it be more like a Champions League where it's the top teams from each group? Like, how would that work? Because that changes my opinion on a lot of that.
Well, we've certainly gotten a little astray from the All-Star game now that we were creating another league. If you have a final thought on that, I'll let you go. We should run down the top five because there's an interesting.
Let's do that. No, I don't have much to add to it other than I just
Super League.
You're really well, the formats of the, you know, it came in and out of formats, but in the end, the real answer is, it's an exhibition game. It's supposed to be fun. Any sports All-Star game, when people start going, like, take it for what it is, and you'll just be happier.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought. How about you?
What if there's a dodgeball event? You know how they do the skills competition?
Oh, yeah.
There's dodgeball, but just with kicking. And it was like...
That'd be fun.
From the pool of all-stars, there would be like a random team captain, and you'd have to pick like eight other players. So it's maybe not all of them, right? But to watch like... That would be fun. Them just
they do the skills, but let's have some more fun stuff. Yeah, like the goalie wars for sure. I think they did that.
Didn't they bring that back?
I did. I think they did.
They brought.
They also should do. What is it? The volleyball where they can't use their hands. You know, like do the volleyball teams. You know, with that. The tabletop thing, the soccer tabletop table tennis thing where
that terrifies me when I've seen them. Like I would crack my head open on that corner of that table.
Or the way they smack some of those.
I have those cracked overhead my head open on the corner of a ping pong table. Like,
yeah. I'd be curious to see who can do the longest throw in. You know, like I want to see
like a javelin
longest
type
throw. Yeah.
Format. Yeah.
want to see the longest throw challenge.
One of each kick, or one's distance, one's accuracy. Like what's the
pass side punt kick.
Yeah, or the drop kick and the side kick. Those are more like for accuracy.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that'd be like a goalie specific competition there.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
Do they do a free kick one right now? Even though that seems obvious.
I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, but ultimately, make it fun. Yeah. Have it, you know, just have every, because what it is those things should be camaraderie. Those things should be the two groups of all-stars just hanging out together and just having a good time.
All right, goalkeeper, top five. This is through, like, on the MLS website, MLS, MajorLeagueSoccer.com. Top five currently in voting for each position. Goalkeeper.
And how are the votes? Remind me how the votes are done. Is it all just online?
So, it's a third fans, third media, third current MLS, like active players. So those votes are all, that's how they're broken down.
But presumably these ballots are just the fan portion, because the other portions don't get announced, so the actual votes happen, correct?
That I don't know. But either way, I don't want to read every single name, but I will read every sounder. Goalkeeper, nope. Center back, nope. Left back, nope. Right back, nope. Defensive midfielder, wow, they broke it down to defensive midfield. No. Attacking midfielder, no. There's no sounders. Forward, no. No sounders. No sounders in the top five of any position for the All-Star voting right now. Is your jaw on the floor? Are you shoulder shrug? Or did you expect this? At this point, like, when does this... I don't even know when voting ends, but there's enough of a sample size to do an article.
I mean, one, through June 10th. It's fair. I think it's fair. Yeah, the ballots remain open through June 10th.
Yeah.
One, it's definitely fair. We are not very good. Like, who has had a year that belongs in the top five of any of these positions? Can you make the argument that Fry? Maybe. Can you make the argument that Yamar or Jackson Reagan? I really can't. Nuhu for left back. Alex Roldan for right back.
Yeah.
Maybe Joao Paulo for defensive midfielder.
Who missed the first, four matches? Something like that?
But a lot of this is based off of prior performance versus current performance. You know, attacking midfielder, forward. I can't.
Georgie.
I cannot complain. This is all very, very fair.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, look at the forwards. Look at the forwards. The top five forwards are Lionel Messi, Chicho Arango, Luis Suarez, Christian Benteke, and Denny Bouanga. Yeah. Raul's not coming anywhere in that, you know, and especially he doesn't deserve to be.
He has, like, a goal of the year candidate so far, you know.
I would 100% take any of those five over Raul, and I love Raul.
Does he have three or four PKs?
At least three.
Okay, because it felt like we were averaging a PK a game for half the season. And our form right now is draw, win, win, draw, and then that loss. But I feel like there's been more than five matches in a month. But either way, we haven't lost in
four games.
Four games. We have two wins in them. It's all competitions. So you can break it down to MLS or Open Cup, however you want. I think it's fair that there's no one on the All-Star game or All-Star voting right now. But at least we're not, like, we seem to be, something's brewing. Does it feel like something's brewing a little bit?
I feel like we're treading water. We're just trying to, you know, what is our biggest problem right now? It's offense. And what is our biggest hole right now is the fact that De La Vega is not playing.
Yeah.
We've gotten less than 180 minutes out of him this season. That sound about right?
I would be surprised if it was 90.
I didn't
play 45 minutes and then estimate. A couple of 15 minute stints.
If I had to put a number on it, I'd probably say about 130, but I really am not 100% sure right now.
Either way, we all understand. It doesn't matter what the numbers are. We know that's probably the biggest.
103 minutes.
If everything else stayed the same that happened, right? Joe Paolo starting late because of injury. Did Raul's been consistent, which has been fantastic. Jordan's been hit or miss. Leo Chu was like a flash of like not brilliance, but like just of what he actually can do. And then he's been very down as well. But yeah, I don't know. This is like a weird time. It's like you're right. We're treading water, but I feel like we were drowning for a little bit. So maybe this jump from drowning to treading water feels like that's what's there's still some hope inside of me. Cause I see us play pretty well. We just don't connect in the final third. And that I think is what Della Vega, right?
Are we talking about our pub league team or are we talking about the Sounders right now? What are we talking about right now?
You know, our pub league team doesn't feel like they should be in last place, but yes, we're just we've been treading water in every game. Hey, draw, you know, loss, draw, win.
The interesting thing about our pub league, we are in dead last in our league. We are the only team of the six that is mathematically eliminated from winning the league. But what's crazy is we are going into, you know, two-thirds of the way through the season, and we've gotten a result in 50% of our games. So even though we are in dead last, that's how much parity. Yeah, I mean, so you know, I'm very proud of our team. But anyways, but the Sounders are kind of in the same way where they cannot score, much like us. We cannot score. Let's stop talking about pub league. But all seriousness, we can't get that offensive action going. It makes it very, very difficult. You know, when you look at our recent form, and you're literally looking at, okay, we've scored one goal, two goals, one goal, no goals, two goals, you know, zero
goals. A goal taken away.
We're just not getting.
Yeah, Montreal is such an outlier of our performance this season.
And it gave us this tease of what could be, because we know we are a good team when, and looking at our possession, I feel like when we're building up and we're holding the ball, we can do that fine. But then we just can't, you know, get that final third going. And I don't really know the answer. I don't know if Pedro de la Vega is going to solve all of that. But what I do know is there's a level of boringness to the games that you see it when you go live, where people are just like...
They're very dull.
Like, I don't really want to watch this, you know. Winning and losing is one thing, but being boring and having people be apathetic, that's the danger right there.
Yeah, there's no show anymore. Although we did have a free kick, and that's been pretty rare for us. I've complained about that before. But anyway, we'll get into
I believe we have the most corners in the league, I don't think we've scored on a single one.
Well, I think we did up until maybe this weekend. I mean, there were games on Wednesday today, weren't there? Or there's a game on Tuesday. I got a notification for something. But we missed a weekend. Doesn't matter, right? An MLS weekend. So we might not be anymore. We were on Wednesday. But... either way, we'll get into more Sounders-centric conversation in a moment. But we do have some scuttlebutt in the mailbag, in the Discord. Yay. Link in the show description. Go look. First one, Muffin Top Model. Do we want Pineda back? And if yes, who gets kicked off the staff? So I think we already know that's not happening, at least immediately, based on Brian Schmetzer's comments, that he likes his staff. They're good guys.
Does it have to be an either or?
But no, I guess I mean, answer however you want. But I wanted to make sure, because at the time of recording this, we've already heard from Brian Schmetzer, and this was either before or after that. I don't know. But we know Pineda's not an option right now, but he could be at the end of the season. But who gets kicked off the staff if this hypothetically happened or possibly could happen?
Again, my question is it a addition by subtraction? Do you have to take someone out? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. So why don't we just do you want Pineda back? If he could just come on.
I love Pineda. Yeah. It's tough because it's not always clear who's doing what on the coaching staff as far as who's contributing to the impact. So really this is all, my answer is based on emotion. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to say, oh, Pineda's a better coach than Preki, than Andy Rose, than Freddie Juarez. I'm not going to even say that because I have no data behind that. I like Pineda as a person. I like the success we've had with him as an assistant coach. I would like to see him come back and for us to find a way to have him back.
Second, everything you said. And I will speak, I think, for what Cameron would say if he was here. And I would agree with that, is damn right we need him back, because he's the only one that could tell Schmetzer what to do and keep the players in that are hot.
That's kind of my question, though. Is that true, or are we guessing on that? And that's me trying to look at it logically.
Yeah. Well, I think Cameron would also say there's this game that he was at that he was like behind Brian Schmetzer. It was at Starfire, and then he heard them have a conversation. And I think that's where he's come up with that story before. And I don't know. I mean, it's pretty obvious what Tommy Dutra does on the training ground, right? He's goalkeeper coach.
Preki, let's replace forwards, let's replace Pineda for Dutra. Exactly. Pineda for Dutra.
I don't, I think if he doesn't go somewhere this summer, I think it would surprise me if he's not on the staff in the off season.
Or at least hanging around the club and just seeing what might be out there.
Yeah, maybe. I would love to have him back. And I
keep in mind he had a Liga MX history as well.
That's true. And very valuable right now.
Would he be a potential candidate? And he's also a former Mexican national player. Mm-hmm. Is he a potential candidate for an assistant coach for 2026 World Cup with Mexico? I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there with the Mexican Federation's coaching. But I do recall there being interest in the past, I believe, with Chivas. I'm not 100% sure that it was Chivas, but for some reason I felt like Gonzo had connections with Chivas. I could be pulling that completely.
So I feel like if anything like that was going to happen, that would happen this summer, right? I mean, isn't there a break between, was it Clausura and what's the other league?
Apertura.
I'm going to go on the next one.
Okay. But yes, by the way, the answer was yes. He did spend most of his career, 128 games with Chivas Guadalajara. I mean, for context, he played 56 games with the Sounders. Chivas was his big thing. And he had 45 appearances with the Mexican national team. So it has potential. Okay, next question.
Seed97, what podcasts, if any, do you fellas enjoy listening to?
Do you want to take this one first?
I honestly don't listen to too many podcasts, other than a couple. I think we, Yeah, well, I used to listen to a lot, especially when I don't know, like traffic helps, right? Yeah. But I generally listen to just local sports radio podcasts, right? So there are podcasts, but I can't listen to them live. Or I don't like listening to things just jumping right in. I'd rather, I'm like a completist in video games. Or, yeah. Or is, I think it's called a completionist, which is like, when I, completist sounds better. So I need to like just listen to the first show of the day, which happens to be this Brock and Salk show for 7:10. So just general Seattle sports. But F1 is like my only other one I dive into that is a very specific podcast. And that, okay. Shift F1 is the podcast. I feel like I relate to them in a way. Like the other ones are, there's a very British one, so I don't get some of the references, right? And then there is like very F1 sanctioned European, like UK podcasts. They're like their actual shows, like yeah. FS1 did a show or something, right? So those are like, I've listened to those, but I like listening to more like us, you know, like people that watch the sport the exact same way I do. And also have a similar idea, like, hey, let's talk about it and record it and share it with people. Like, I respect that.
Very conversational.
Yeah. And that's more like what you're looking for when you're stuck in traffic. Is like,
buddies, buddies sticking around and having a beer.
Yeah, it's like, I just kind of want to like, I just want to hang out while I'm like going to work in traffic for 90 minutes versus be entertained.
Yeah, no, that makes
Which
sense
is why you're all listening to us. So that's probably the other one I like. Shift F1, they're good dudes. And I love F1. And so I think it's a departure from, I get my soccer juices out of like this and Pub League. I get that. It's where I get my fix. And then watching the Sounders, obviously. And U.S. Women's National Team, I'm at halftime right now. From the second South Korea game. But like, other than that, there's my soccer. And then I don't. There's Disney Storytelling is the other podcast because I have a 4-year-old.
Okay. Yeah, for me, the one podcast I have to religiously each week is a video game podcast called Get Played. And it started off, it's three comedians. Started off kind of as How Did This Get Played, which was like talking about the worst, weirdest video games in history. And then they realized this is going to burn themselves out. So they really talked about stuff they loved playing instead of just stuff they really absolutely hated playing. But it's really fun. I've discovered a lot of games that became favorite games of mine through this podcast. Shout out to Persona 5 Royale. Fantastic game. But that's kind of my one weekly one that I listen to on that. If we're talking about movies, The Rewatchables, which is Bill Simmons. That's a good one. I also love...
Movies? Did you say movies?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why'd you bring up movies?
Podcast. The podcast about movies.
Oh, like, that's a totally different medium. That's not what the question
no,
was.
No. Oh, I see what you're saying.
We don't have a 4-hour show. We're two tired dads. All right, yeah, no, that makes more sense. Podcast about movies. Like, we're not talking so like about movies, Nick.
The rewatchables. So it's kind of about movies that are rewatchable. And that's just really fun, very conversational. Recent episode about the movie Slapshot, which is one of my personal favorite films, a hockey film.
Paul Newman. I was going to say, what's your rewatchable? Like
my rewatchable?
Just say one of them. You can have seven, but say one.
Casablanca.
Right now.
Casablanca. I watch that movie probably twice a month.
Twice a month?
You know, if I'm being completely honest.
I was going to say, I love that movie. I've seen it 7 times. And I think that's a lot for someone who's 35. Okay. But twice a month is...
Wait, I'm gonna make you go, wait, what? Two nights ago, Monday night, I put it on at like 11 o'clock at night. And then I was waiting for me to get through a queue to look for hotel rooms for Tokyo Disney. The movie ended. I was still waiting for the queue. It's like 1:30 in the morning. I rewatched it again. So I watched it back to back Monday night. Just like that's just, I don't know, man. Love that movie.
You're weird.
I am.
Casablanca twice a month, and I've seen, like, and I love Singing in the Rain. Actually, if I was gonna come with a left hook, it would be of like, okay, you want to get Turner Classic Movies on me, bitch?
What was that movie that just came out a few years ago that was basically
La La Land?
No. It was basically, the plot was almost Singing in the Rain, like the making of Singing in the Rain. Babylon? Does that sound right?
It sounds like a movie of a couple years ago.
It was really interesting. That movie was really interesting. Check it out.
That was only a left hook to yours. That's not my choice, though. I'm caught between three movies. I'm just going to say them.
Okay.
Hook.
Ooh.
The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones. I love all of them.
Yes, yes.
I love all of them like people love all their Star Wars movies. And I respect and appreciate Star Wars. Not my favorite.
I just can't get into Temple of Doom, but okay.
Everything
else.
Yeah. But Last Crusade, though, is...
Oh, yeah. Oh,
for
yeah.
me, like, count to 20. One in Greek. Sean Connery still alive? I don't think
so. No, this just came up in conversation today, believe it or not, when we were talking about the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
You've seen Casablanca twice this month, and you've talked about Sean Connery's death twice in one day.
Wait.
Bingo
twice
card.
In the same night. So I've seen it twice this week and in the same night. But anyways,
You've seen Casablanca as many times in one night as you've talked about the death of Sean Connery this much in one night.
Yeah, okay. This is not the second time I've talked about the death of Sean Connery today.
The third one is, we got to get moving. But the third one is...
Break Into Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, it's a great show, a great film.
No, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Have you ever seen
it? Really? Ben Stiller?
Yeah, have you seen it?
No, but what's the song off of that? Stay Alive? Jose Gonzalez? Is that right?
I think there's multiple songs in there. I don't.
But that's like the, it's a really good song. Anyways, but no, just not my, yeah, I haven't seen it.
You should check it out. It's like, it's a good escapist kind of movie. And so if like you need to kind of like, if you're feeling like down a little bit, it's a great movie to watch. It's really well done. And he directed it, actually. Kristen Wiig is in it as well. But the geography you get to see throughout the movie and the comedy is like off the charts. Like, it's not slapstick at all. It's just really well constructed, funny fucking movie.
Although I am gonna say something about Casablanca, I want to just end with this because you did touch on something, a movie that literally changed my life and really inspired a lot of how I live and how I travel, is the 1995 film Before Sunrise, Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy. 9 years later, there was a sequel, Before Sunset. 9 years after that, a third movie in the trilogy, Before Midnight, and it's following the same characters from the films. Richard Linklater, who did Slacker, Boyhood, highly recommend Before Sunrise. Just a short plot is, American last night in Europe is taking a train to Vienna, where he's going to get on a flight the next day. Meets a girl on the train, convinces her to get off the train and just spend the night with him in Vienna, just walking around the town and talking. That's the movie. Very dialogue heavy, but it's also, it's beautiful. It's just an absolutely beautiful film and really shaped a lot of my, some of my adulthood quirks, if you will. Highly recommend it.
You have so many quirks, dude.
You're not wrong. I am you're not wrong.
Mm-mm. I can see half your quirks in the back of your wall there. Was it $43,000 in records?
Is it the liquor or is it the bottles? Vinyl? Or the memorabilia up above that, you know?
There it is, three things. Anyway, moving on. Let's move on to a couple more, and we'll move a little faster because we definitely have two games to talk about, slash three, kind of. There's a game coming up, is what I mean. Maso Gern, MasoGern, in the Discord. Do you have any match day superstitions or routines? I'm sure you do. You go to every match. Thoughts on building a new stadium in Renton? No more Lumen? Start with the first one. You go to every match, pretty much, right?
Pretty much. Match day superstitions, it depends if I'm by myself, if I'm with my daughter or not. Lately, all season long, I've been taking my daughter to all the games. So I don't go to the bar that I would typically go to because it is 21 and over. But what we've been doing is we've been getting in at gates and we've been going into the Sounders Legend, table, I guess you can call it, each game this season.
Is it really a table?
It is. So what it is each game, they are having a meet and greet with the Sounders Legend, someone from the history of the team.
For some reason, I was picturing when you said exhibit, because I haven't been to a game this year yet, right? So I was like, okay. Oh, this is new. When you said exhibit first, which I knew you misspoke now, but then I was like, my mind already went to objects and not a human.
Yeah.
So when you said table, I'm like, oh no, we're doing, check out all these cool things from our past, guys. This is a rock for a memorial.
Wow.
Things that just fit.
No, it's been really cool. Yeah. And so, it's been, Ozzy Alonso, Kellen Rowe, Marcus Hahnemann, Peter Hatrup, Pepe Fernandez, going through a lot of the history, James Riley. And I hope, and I've talked to the club about this from the Sounders Alliance Council perspective.
I should continue.
That this should not just be a 50th anniversary thing. I believe firmly, very strongly, that we should always be honoring our history. There are some things that I can't really talk about other than saying that I've made my opinion known and the Sounders have been very receptive to some of that stuff. And we're probably
going to get an analogy for your, you want a good analogy for that?
Yeah.
You got to water the roots to make it grow, man. You gotta cultivate the past. What started the foundation of this club.
Largely the Sounders have taken care of their alumni. But having it a more outward viewing thing for the fans who maybe have only been around for MLS and don't know the history. Like this ball right up here that I'm pointing at, I found that hiding underneath a Goodwill, a rack at Goodwill. It is a team signed A-League ball.
You mentioned that before, yeah.
And it's just like, I love it. It's great. And I love, the history of the club. I've been here since 2008. So I didn't live that stuff. So I love learning about that and seeing, the histories of who's come before us and before, what we know as the Sounders. I want to see the club recognize and show that appreciation for them as much as possible, especially with the new facility. What about you? How about match day superstitions for you or routines?
Right now it's just get there and I want to, but 4 month old and now's about the time when we're going out and doing things. Now that I have my leave, I'm considering a family outing. We're doing a Mariners game on Father's Day, actually, the four of us. So
okay,
that'll be our, like, all right, we can do this. We got the earmuffs. But anyway, match day superstitions. I guess I'll just harken back to my more like ECS active days and living in First Hill. But for me, it was like I had to be in the vicinity of the stadium. That's what I loved about Fuel and what I love about Temple and what I love about Flatstick in the last couple of seasons. Just being older, Flatstick feels like.
come on, Plastic, put in a bar or put in a rail behind the bar so that kids can go down there. Come on. All your other locations are all ages.
But I had to be in the vicinity because I love when I was, I loved my walk down. Like, so this is like, we lived on Bourne, like Spring and Bourne. So I had to have two scarves, one around my belt, one around my neck. Felt like I was getting ready for the day versus just putting clothes on, you know?
And Michael, I miss Michael Hutchins?
In excess. No, I could breathe. I made sure of it. but no, the walk down, like I missed that and I had to do that. And I went to every, no one wants to, I'm not even going to say what Nick's doing. Because if you know the history of NXS, you know what he's doing, to pantomiming to me right now. Rest in peace, Michael Hutchins. Great voice.
Inappropriate. Okay, moving on.
Explicit. In my church lady voice. Now isn't that just special? But anyway, I just loved, that was the crown of the day was going to the match because I lived in walking distance and it was like, kind of felt walking downhill to the stadium feels different than walking uphill to a stadium. Does that make sense? So
it sure does. Yeah.
Well, it was excited coming, like rolling right into the energy. And I just missed that. And I know that's not like a crazy superstition or anything like that, but I'm not very superstitious, but I like routines. And for me, that was like the build up to getting to the game and then getting, but first like landing in the pool of the community. And because normally I just work and went home and I have my small group of friends. Right. Yeah. And then you go to a Sounders game and then you have 2 hours plus like the block party days, like the old, like selling out the stadium, Portland matches. Remember those days?
Oh yeah.
It feels weird thinking about it, but like, it's not the same really anymore. So just having that vibrant, excited, like push into the stadium and spending the whole day kind of getting amped for it. Like I love Saturday night games. Like it was just so cool. I didn't work on Saturdays. So I'm waking up, it's brunch, mimosas, lunch, hanging out at home, get some chores done. Now feel like I did all the work. Everything's, my hands are clean. Let's go.
Yeah.
And walked all the way to the stadium. Yeah, those were the days. Now I'm in Everett.
that the walk changes things a little bit.
The walk is a bit further. But yeah, no crazy superstitions. And thoughts on our new building a new stadium and renting? That's not a thing, is it?
Okay. It's a potential when they own their land, of course. It's got potential. The space is there to make that happen. However, I have lived all over the country, and I am a firm believer that it is a death sentence to put a stadium outside the downtown core.
Downtown.
I know. I started to. I was changing my words in mid sentence.
It's a really good cider, isn't it?
It is. It is. But your suburbia stadiums suck. You lose the atmosphere of exactly what we were talking about. Block parties, walk into games, just that game day atmosphere.
The transit into the game, right? Just like,
yeah.
I know we're not the rowdiest folk up here in the Pacific Northwest, but, you know, being on a train full of people going for the same thing. We're all going to a Sounders game. That's
every time I'm on when I take light rail, it is full. Yeah, exactly. And it gives people options. You know, you don't do it. Don't do it.
No, that just sounds.
Look around the league. Colorado with Dick's Sporting Park. Chicago, Philly with their shit show. Chicago, absolutely, when they're in Ridgecrest. Dallas, Frisco has just been garbage.
RSL is probably the one. Granted, it's not. I've been to, in a way, RSL match. It's not like it's exciting. You still have to take a little tram to get there from anywhere that sells the thimbles of alcohol that you can drink. Because it's
DC. You know, but then look at the stadiums that are accessible, that are downtown, Vancouver, Portland, Seattle, Being able to have those right there, not talking soccer in this case, but hockey, football, baseball in Denver, all right down there, San Francisco, with baseball,
The more dense the pop, like you want your sporting event arenas and parks to be close to the densest part of your community.
Exactly.
It's not rocket science.
And yet people keep building them in these.
It's cheaper.
Well, usually they try and do the Foxborough model, which is try and build up space around it and turn it into a shopping center when shopping centers are dead. And since the Sounders now own with Unico land around Long Acres and they want to develop that's part of the Long Acres project, I can understand them wanting to at least explore that. But it's
maybe to separate yourself from Starfire completely, like from the Open Cup matches, and like that's where you'll have, 5,000 seat something. You can host high school games there. But like for other purposes of the why you would build a small pitch, that has stands in it,
How much usage are you going to actually get there? That's the challenge there. Tacoma Defiance games there, or
that's fine, right?
Yeah. Except the Tacoma Defiance attendance is not drawing that kind of level. But anyway, I'm not trying to be negative about it. It's just I don't think it's very feasible, and I don't think it's very responsible for.
And Patrick GC also says if it's in Renton, I hope the city also improves the infrastructure. He says more, but I think that's the most important part is like that's not a place for high volume traffic, and it doesn't. No, the answer is no. I would be pissed.
It would frankly
Makes absolutely no sense.
Reconsider.
I see potential for reason for us to go watch soccer on their complex for competitive soccer. So I think Open Cup bringing it there, designing a space that accommodates equally like Starfire does, or keep it at Starfire and just do your own thing and make it private. Let's put it this way.
I have no problem going to a Wednesday night game at 7:30 at Lumen. I've missed both Open Cup games at 7:30 at Starfire because getting there is just not feasible. And getting back, it's just not.
That's not counting getting into Starfire. That's just getting to the area. I mean, Starfire is its own hell with a little bridge. But anyway. Yeah. We should move on. We should move on. Let's grab another
preview
beverage, and get into some Sounder Center. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. Yeah, you listened to the fight song for like 8 seconds. But it is the Sounders time. We are going to talk just about Sounders, and we're going to try really, really hard to not go on tangents. We played two MLS matches, since last time we had an episode. How could you best characterize or describe those two matches as a whole?
Like I would describe them as...
What happened the last 2 weeks?
Forgettable. They're just forgettable. We got 4 points, so yay. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't particularly... Frankly, it was more notable in who wasn't playing than who was playing.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the idea of, De La Vega's getting ready to come back and then being not in the 18 and then all of a sudden,
right.
Then not in the 18 again. And so it's just kind of, just feels like we're spinning wheels and hopefully going to, you know, get some traction.
Yeah. Forgettable. I see where you're going with that. I would find more just unexciting. I remember them. Like, we did win a match, right?
Yeah.
And we didn't lose this. We should have won this last. Although, let's just jump right to it. That foul that Mustafi did. That
it was the right application of VAR. In the end, if that foul gets called at the moment it happens, I'm not complaining. I'm not thinking anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a foul.
Yeah, for sure.
That's simple. The fact that we scored and then it was taken away, it just kind of makes it sting a little bit because you have this kind of hope that Pro's going to screw up somehow and give us the goal. But you never know with Pro. You don't know which direction of incompetence they're going to go. But yeah, so I don't have a problem with that. I am extremely annoyed about the final sequence of that game where it goes from 2-0 to 1-1. That's just really annoying and just kind of a microcosm of how our season's gone sometimes, I feel,
especially
like
at home on a rainy night.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a very, very empty stadium.
I would tell you, I'll tell you right now, if we were number one in the league, let alone Western Conference, but just in the league, and winning every single night, and beautiful, amazing soccer, my FOMO would be through the roof, and I would figure out a way,
yeah,
and to get down there and not want to miss stuff. But there's when you know you're not going to miss anything spectacular,
and then the feedback really loop of like after that RSL game, do you look at yourself and go, yeah, I would have been pissed at myself if I made the track down there in the rain and that's how it ended.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And that's not necessarily the Sounders' control. I mean, it's just kind
sure,
of like
for a, sure. No, no. We're talking about just the cloud that's above us right now. And it's not a dark cloud, but there's still it's a total Seattle Pacific Northwest cloud that's above us. It's not pouring down rain. No, it's what I call the produce section because I work with people that aren't from. Come into our city for the first time, right? I'm in hospitality. And I always describe it, it's like, we don't rain that much. It's just more of that produce section rain. That's what it feels like we're under right now. Just kind of misty, annoying.
It's drowning. For you and I both who wear glasses, it's that annoying stuff where it's like, you're not going to wear an umbrella, but you're going to be pissed off every time you go out because you have to stop and clean your glasses off. And then 5 seconds later, you got to clean them back off again. And it's just annoying.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, no, these last 2 weeks have been unsurprising when you look at the entire season. Like, we should have 6 points in the last two games. We really should. Yeah. Not that I'm saying that foul wasn't a foul, but we are a better team. And I loved seeing the potential, but I feel like I've been saying that about every game. Like, oh, I saw a lot of good things in this match that makes me excited for the next match. And I'm not seeing enough bad things to make me feel like we're going to plummet. Like, we are a steady Eddie team right now, which is just not exciting. And I think there's nothing really exciting is happening, and we're grasping for something to be exciting, which I think we can all call as Pedro de la Vega. And being dragged along. That sounds like they're withholding information, which of course a little bit they are because they don't want a competitive edge, but like it's been really weird. It's been really, really weird trying to follow the severity and when's he gonna
play.
In
a vacuum, it's not anything worth it's like, oh, he's injured, that's a bummer. He'll get back soon, okay, whatever. But when it's this and then that and then that, and it's like the accumulation of all this, where then you start to lose the faith that they've got it right, because then you start going, okay, you know what? The first three things, I can understand that. But now we're like 5, 6, 7, 8, and now we're doing a dance number. 5, 6, 7. Yeah, okay. But no, and so it's just very, it's, Seattle's a fickle sports town at times, where they're very pessimistic because a lot of bad stuff has happened in the history of Seattle sports. So when things aren't looking great, the trend is to, you know, to go pessimistic versus optimistic. I try to combat that where I can, but even I'm kind of succumbing a little bit at times. And I think it's just kind of, you know what? We're not a bad team. We're not a bad team. We're just not. We have talent. We have talented players. We have a lot of good things going for us, but we are not a top four team in the Western Conference right now. And, you know, well, I mean, I'm talking like, just keep this in mind. I've said this before.
A general power ranking kind of.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I get it.
I mean, I've said this before, but May 4th, 2022, that was the night we won Champions League. That was the night we lost Jay Peeve to a very long-term injury. Since May 4th, 2022, I think we've had our ideal starting 11 starting a game or on the field together at the same time for less than 700 minutes since 2022. I really do believe that, and I'm pulling.
I think that's part of the frustration, though. I think we all know that, and but it's just such a broad, and it's been for so long. It's like, okay, yeah. Well then fix it. Okay, then fix it. Okay, then fix it. But injuries.
I do have a hypothesis.
Why are we? What is it? The hamstring, like, you know.
I do have a real hypothesis about part of this malaise within the club.
Yes, that's a good word.
We, going into 2020, going into COVID, we were considered the most successful franchise in MLS history, the team of the decade. Going into 25 seasons, the 25th anniversary of MLS, we were the power ranking number one team franchise in MLS. We are the model franchise. We had everything going for us. We kept getting poached. We lose Jimmy Traore. We lose Gonzo Pineda. We lose Chris Henderson. We lose Ravi. I'm not going to be able to pronounce his last name, unfortunately. Great data analyst. We lose Garth. We lose all these people to other clubs, to other opportunities. We've lost multiple, you know, sports physician, our head sports physician groups, our trainers. We've lost our Tacoma Defiance coaches. So we keep getting poached, and it's really hard to lose this core of what we have and not have it affect us.
No, that's fair. I mean, that's and someone argue, and I will argue that, you know, that happens to every team, and when you have good teams, I would say part of it, most of it for me, is that the Sounders tout what they hold their standard to, and we are a championship team. So if you say that, you're telling me to believe that, and I would love to believe that, but right now I don't see that, and that's why there's malaise.
Yeah.
I still hold that standard because you tout that standard.
Yeah.
Right? The Mariners did not tout they were going to win the World Series 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. In 2018, was it 18 or 19? But they were like, hey, we are reimagining. It's like rebuilding, right? I'm fine with that transparency, and that's the ebbs and flows of sports, like you were saying. But to hold on, I think, and that date you gave, May 4th, 2022. Up until that point, we believed that we were going to continue to do that. And when I say we, I mean the club.
No, with that said, I'm going to tell you straight up. I will take what we're going through right now for everything we've been through since I've been a Sounders fan. So I will take that. You know, we're not going to win every tournament every year. I get that.
Why not?
I know. But I just want a clear path. I just want reasons for optimism. I want the trust that the club has it figured out and, you know, can look us in the eye and say, trust the process. You know, I want that. I don't know. I'm waiting for this new regime, in the post Garth years. I'm waiting for the Craig Weibels and the I'm waiting for them to make their mark. Unfortunately, we just haven't seen De La Vega much yet. That's a good start if he can get healthy. So it's just the waiting game right now. So we can look at it as either being negative and going, oh, fire them all, everyone out, get everyone out of here. They're all garbage. They're all bums. Or it can be, okay, trust the process, recognizing, okay, they've got a plan. Okay, we've got some injuries. That's a bummer. And just kind of keep not making excuses, but understanding that these things happen, some of them in our control, some of them out of our control. I want to believe, and I'm trying to still enjoy what I love about this club. And so that's kind of the approach I'm trying to take is, I'm a little frustrated right now, but it's a temporary frustration. It's going to get better. We're in June, summer's starting to come.
That helps.
I think there's a lot of reason of excitement. The sun really coming. Helps. I'm not going to lie. Can I just say, I know we're a little early on the preview, but just jumping forth to June 15th, that's going to be a really, really special game. And I highly recommend everyone to try and make it to that game. That's going to be a really special game.
You're saying that with the Alliance Council hat on because you know things and you're just urging people to go to that game.
Yes, some of that has been made public. Like publicly, they've announced that Saturday, June 15th is the 50th anniversary celebration game. So that's public knowledge. That's great. Matter of fact, the first 10,000 fans are going to get an awesome, badass Sammy the Sounder bobblehead. I love that kind of shit. It's Sammy the Sounder holding an old NASL ball, wearing an old school scarf. I absolutely want that bobblehead. But it'll be a special day. I highly recommend you try and make it out to that.
Let's get to the preview.
Let's do it.
Let's just jump to it. You're not early.
No. Well, that game's a few games in down the road, but yes.
Sporting Kansas City, we're going to the Blue Cauldron. We're going to the Blue Cauldron. They're terrible right now.
They're still so bad.
They're still a damn shame. Yeah, they're still Sporting Kansas City, and that means nothing. Literally, their form
is Johnny Russell playing? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I hate that guy. He's such a Sounder killer.
And he's got such the hate you name him, Johnny Russell.
Johnny Russell is in my top five all-time hated MLS players, up there with like Diego Chara.
Leonard.
With who is shouty pointy, LA Galaxy. Robbie Keane.
Yeah. But Steven Leonard. Unidentified
fan. One, right? Steven Leonard.
Steven Leonard. Unidentified fan, yes.
And this one, boy, I hated this. I will just say, let's see if you can name him. A one-name player who had the most punchable face in MLS history. One-name player, looked like a methed-out Bart Simpson. FC Dallas. This is just me. I really hated this guy.
Say it.
Michel.
Oh, yes. 100%.
Yeah. Oh,
the way he sweat pissed me off. he seemed slimy and not like.
Ugh.
I don't know. And yes, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
Bart Simpson hair. Yep. Okay.
Oh, I just. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Peter Vermees is like that in terms of managers for me, right?
As far as
Peter Herpes.
He single-handedly, him and Dom Kinnear, so not single-handedly, him and Dom Kinnear have such a negative style of playing. It's like the soccer equivalent of the neutral zone trap, which is just grind it down and take talented players and hack them to where the game is just so slow and unfun to watch. I hate that cynical style of play. He is someone that I simultaneously want to stay with Kansas City because he's a jackass and he sucks and he clearly hasn't done much for them lately. And I want Kansas City to fail, but I also want him to be gone because he just doesn't belong in this league anymore. He is an MLS 1.0 coach.
I would love for him to be Portland's coach because then we could truly have like a Mighty Ducks type movie rivalry. Ugh. You know, where you have the Iceland coach with all the Iceland players.
No. I would rather hate on. I would 100% rather hate on Porter, Caleb Porter, than to have my biggest rivalry be Peter Vermees. No, because no, yeah. Because as much of a jackass as Caleb Porter is, he's not playing that kind of cynical soccer. You know, and I want to watch a good soccer match instead of, yeah, I just have a thing about Peter Vermees. I need to open up another match.
Well, where are we going to play his team now? Yeah, they're terrible. But I honestly think that means nothing. I feel like almost every time we play them, either we or they are in a rough spot. So it seems like one should be clearly, if this was all things being equal, one is better than the other. They're the favorite. It's almost like a Portland match where it doesn't matter what's going on in the season. Whenever we play this team, and it probably has to do with the way, you know, Peter Vermees, just his tactics that you were just complaining about. But
and they've lost four of their last five.
Oh yeah, I mean they haven't won a match since March, so.
So
I think so that means we're going to get our game winless streak or something.
Does it not feel like teams get off the schneid against us? Like it feels like, and that might just be the confirmation bias.
Trying to coax it out of you. I'm like, I don't feel like this is a one we should just look over.
No, but with that said, we're not playing at home. That's almost a good thing because our road results have been encouraging. So I think we're singing Jingle Bells this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. I
we won't have Nuhu. Nuhu's in, you know what, international duty.
So my, what I thought was a spot on prediction because I said 2-1 depending on De La Vega's involvement at home against RSL. And then he didn't play at all, wasn't even in the 18, but we still got to 2-1, and I was like, woo, this is going to be a great show to do. It was my prediction, except I was totally wrong, which is great to talk about, because that's what we've been missing. No De La Vega, no goals. And that didn't happen. So no De La Vega, and we didn't win. However, I have to go in this one with a happy thought. We have a good road record. I don't think it's a great road record if we are in the top three of the league, but and also I just need us to beat this motherfucker. I hate, especially in their stadium. It just bugs the hell out of me. This is a team that bugs me. This has to be a win every time we play. So, yeah, I'm going to go with you on that one. I just can't predict a score, though.
I mean, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, if Johnny Russell is playing, he's going to get a goal on us. And it's just going to be annoying as hell.
Did he still play?
What's up?
Is he still on their team?
Yeah, Pulido, Russell, those are two of their three. They also got Memo Rodriguez, Saloy. They got players theoretically.
Pulido and him are just the ones that always show up to our matches.
Yeah.
They only have two wins. They're tied with San Jose with the fewest points per game at 0.69 this season and haven't won an MLS match since March 30th. I really want these statistics to actually come to fruition in this match. I don't want a dogfight. I want them to try to do their game and then we just dance around it.
I'd love to see us have like a 2-0 lead going into the 80th minute and then getting a just the true Sounders game kind of game where they get a late goal just to make us go, oh no, it's going to happen again. And just make the last 10 minutes nervy. That would make me happy.
And it's going to be a 9-minute stoppage of VAR and conversation and carding. And then actual stoppage time will be 6 minutes. And we'll still win 2-1.
I will take that. If that's what we get.
Well, I mean, that's the season, right? It's I'll take that pretty much. We can't write ourselves out, right? We're literally at the fringe at 10th place of being in playoff spots. So like we're probably going to make the playoffs if we assume we're not going to get worse. And I've seen a very slow trend in we're coming up with more results that are positive than negative. Right? We're a lot more threes and ones in the last 4 or 5 weeks than the first 4 or 5 weeks.
Even without De La Vega, we are a playoff team, but we have to grind out the results. I believe I said at the beginning of the season, you know, when De La Vega was nursing a hamstring injury, I believe I had said until he comes back at full strength, it's going to be grinding out results. So that's going to cost us supporter shield. I thought we'd be better than this, but the grinding out part, that's where we're at. We are in the grinding phase and I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. just saying.
All right. I think we should start bringing this into port. We have our predictions. Pretty blonde.
Are you going 2-1
as
well? Are you feeling
over the
are
last
you feeling
couple
it?
Weeks?
So you're feeling the 2-1 as well, officially?
Yes, I am.
And are you saying we're up 2-0 and they come back? And are we kind of on that same? We're both thinking
that
it's going
to be. I'm
agreeing
with everything you said. My prediction, I guess, was that I thought their goal is going to be surrounded by a 9-minute stoppage because of some bullshit. It's just going to be an eye rolling match. We're going to roll our eyes at the result of this match, but we're going to come away with a victory, and we're going to be on the road, which Gobble them up. Gobble up the away points.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yep.
Okay. I can appreciate that. With that said, just because you made me think about it, I am very curious to see what our MLS assignments are for this week. And so I'm looking that up right now to see who... Yep. Okay. So in the center is going to be Guido Gonzalez Jr. The good news is I don't recognize the name. Do not recognize the name. So hopefully that's encouraging.
Yeah, I don't know. I know like the three or four that have had moments in our past. But have to mention Nuhu's not available. He'll be with Cameroon. I don't think we were worried about Stuart Hawkins.
So does that mean that Nuhu's going to be out the next couple games after that as well because he's going to miss a flight or he's going to get malaria or COVID or avian swine flu or some random... when was the last time we had like a non-eventful Nuhu international
International experience? I mean, like getting in Uber the wrong... Wasn't his Uber late in the last for the last season he was benched?
His Uber was late for a folk meeting. Hero. I love Nuhu. By the way, that crack he took from the top of the box in that RSL game forced the goalie into a really good save. I think historically he's been really bad offensively. He's been kind of a detriment to our team offensively. I feel like this year he's been making some good crosses. He's been better in my eye test.
He's been better than his past seasons. Yes. Offensively.
But the bar.
But that was a pretty low. I mean, it was disruptive. And it still is at points. And it's a disruptive play style that he has. But he's also a suffocating one-on-one defender. Yeah. And
with this, I really like watching Cody Baker.
He's a goof. And he's kind of a goofball. But yes, Cody Baker is... I like him. But I don't...
If I had to pick one or the other, I'm picking Nuhu.
Yeah. I need Nuhu. We have the experience with him.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. I'm not ready to say Cody Baker's our left back, but
no, at all. No. But I like having him on my team.
Yeah, exactly.
He is a very adequate backup left back.
It's like if Zach Scott didn't have any of the sentimental value to the Senators, right? It's like
I see what you're saying.
Good little defender.
Brings more offensive, but I get what you're saying. Like he's not gonna if Cody Baker is your starting left back, you are maybe not a playoff team. And he might be left back starting quality. But a very hard-working stage. Team. 100%. Like, no, I love those kind of players. The Zach Scotts are my favorite kind of players. You know, the Christian Roldans, the guys that will run.
Like, I feel like Cody Baker has a sneaky 8-pack. You know what I mean? Zach Scott was totally a sneaky 8-pack.
Hey, I still have that magazine cover somewhere around here.
Somewhere around here. It's in the drawer. You weirdo.
Hey.
You and your quirks.
You know the magazine cover I'm talking about.
I do, yeah.
Him, Tyrone. Can you name the other two players on that cover?
Was it Tyrone Marshall and then Nelson Hedo Valdez?
You're almost there. Tyrone Mears.
Mears. Did I say Marshall?
Mears. You did. Tyrone Marshall was a player.
Then, yeah.
But that was, yeah, but you got your generation earlier. Yeah.
No, I was, I knew his Mears set just, yeah. Yes. But yeah. 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 They're the reason I gave up doing push-ups and sit-ups. I'm just like, no, that's not happening.
Okay. Well,
yeah, what a transition to the end of the episode. Just naked Sounders.
I mean,
hey, you know what, Sounders, strip yourselves down and really find out who you are as a team and come together this weekend
and clearly finally I'm thirsty.
Produce. Good one, because you're drinking a beverage.
Oh, you see what I did there? I see what I did there? Yeah.
Did you write down that joke a week ago, put it in your pocket, and pull it out just now so you could do it? You're like, oh, this is going to be great. Next time I go on the show. Oh, yes. Why are you shushing me? There's no security here. He would just held up a sack of rum or wine.
That was rum.
Because we may or may not have done that for Pearl Jam. I will probably deny that. I don't think that actually happened, but
I don't think so. Pearl Jam was great. Ran into Sounders owner Peter Tamazawa at the Pearl Jam show.
Did he say you're sorry?
So I didn't physically
for running in for yeah.
Peter's great.
Hey, hold on. Do you know how you can tell a dad joke?
Go ahead.
It's apparent.
Oh.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Love it.
All right, Peter Tamazawa, that Sounders.
Related. Yeah. So good to see him. Yeah, good ahead. To see him at the Pearl Jam show. Good to see you at the Pearl Jam show. Good to see co-host PJ Cameron Hatt Collins. Right now. Really good show. Really, really good show.
Did you listen to the live stream on Sirius XM?
The next night, Thursday show. Yeah. Show. Yeah.
I that was a better show because I listened to it live, holding my baby. I thought that's what's great about Pearl Jam. Is you never know what you're going to get. But I loved our show. I also love that, you know what? I get to listen to this one with the recent experience of physically being there. So literally, eyes closed can be there right now.
I love the new album. It's so good. The
new album's so good. But I was like, man, I'm actually really FOMO'd if I didn't go to the first one because my tickets were the second one. And then the only one I could go to, I can't also hear live. Like the other show, like you just don't, don't know, you don't have any experience for the first show.
Well, we got to go to Technically XM Radio. So yeah, but they'll release a full show.
But the live feeling is so different. The connection.
I know. Anyway. Although I'm a Pearl huge awesome. Fan of Man of the Hour. Love that song.
Speaking of the hour, it's almost midnight. So Sleepy Dad's
need to go. We should finish our beverages.
Yes.
And for the record, it's almost midnight, and we set ourselves a hard stop at 11 o'clock.
I know.
Which was almost an hour ago.
You know what? The passion is still there for the Sounders, at least between Nicholas and I.
It's true.
So.
It's true.
Let's show up where you can show up. For me, I show up here for all of you. Nick, you do both. You show up here when we ask you to. You show up at the stadium when all of the Alliance voters ask you to. You're there with your daughter.
She's loving it. She's absolutely loving it. We got to get Gracie out with us.
The boom boom clap scared her, but I think she's getting over it. That was 2 years ago.
Get her some headphones. Get her the headphones.
Now she's like aging out of them, but she's full. I've gotten her excited. I've gotten her excited at home. So I'm excited. One to just go to a downtown game of any sort.
I actually did that with the Mariners on Friday, Mariners fireworks night. My daughter hates fireworks. Hates fireworks. It's annoying. So actually, let me rephrase that. She hates the national anthem.
The random pops are what always got me. Yep.
So when the anthem happens, she'll, no matter where we are, whatever anthem happens, she'll grab me really tight. And then she'll reach around, grab my hand, and like make me put my hand on her back. It's really sweet and adorable, but it's also
they're also terrified.
Yeah.
No, I totally hear you. Yeah.
So knowing we were going to fireworks night on Friday, we watched some videos. Because the other thing is we're going to Tokyo in July, and it's going to be like one of the largest fireworks festivals in the world while we're there. So we don't want to miss that. So I'm kind of going, hey,
your daughter's terrified of fireworks, so you decided to take her to her first international experience is the largest fireworks show on the planet.
It is not her first international experience. It's her first. She's been to
Vancouver.
It's adorable
and heartbreaking.
But no, so like for fireworks night, we're like, oh, fireworks are cool, aren't they? And she's like, yeah, I like fireworks. We always give her the headphones. Then Cameron was my plus one for the game on Friday. And we walk in, and because he's a T-Mobile phone user, we got to go to a special booth, and we got field passes to watch the fireworks from the field. And to my daughter's credit, she was so great. She had the headphones on. You could see in her eyes, like, seeing everything, where it was, like, a little alarming, but she was, like, into it. And then I got video of her dancing, and so I'm actually really encouraged here that the Japan fireworks are going to be fantastic for her. That she's gonna rock it.
Well, there's T-Mobile in Japan, so hopefully they'll put you in a good spot.
They have something stupid like 1 million people to watch those fireworks, so that'll be. That'll be a different kind of shit show.
It's really awesome. And also, I'm like, still like, your daughter's like just now took the first step out of fear of fireworks, and you're like, all right, let's go. Anyway,
it'll be good. It'll be good.
Let's go. Hashtag let's go. Let's get out of here. One thing I do want to mention, obviously we have our Discord, and please join it. And we've seen new people plop in there just about every couple weeks after every show. So keep doing it. Link in the show description. And then also, I actually am contemplating, I think we're going to start doing a Patreon type thing. Completely volunteer. And also, I tried to do like just one tier. I call it the supporter section. If you just want to support the show in any way, 74 cents, and Patreon said that's too fucking cheap. So okay. I was like, all right, 174.
So $74, and we'll send you personalized photos.
Yeah.
Of us
of holding soccer balls above our soccer balls. And with our one pack, our keg. But anyway, no, I want to do that just because I know there are a lot of great listeners out there, and if you want to support the show, that would be fantastic. I've been doing this, you know, pretty literally out of pocket for technically 7 years, a couple years break. But that would be great. And it's not obliged. There's no, the only thing I think we'll add is a tier to the $1.74 monthly subscription to our Patreon would be that when there is scuttlebutt that you really want us to talk about, drop it in there. And there's a community on there, so that'll just be prioritized. Other than that, that's what the Discord is for. Because I mean, literally an hour of this show was us talking about and our tangents, and I do the same thing with Cameron, and we do the same thing when there's three of us, is the kind of stuff that comes up just about a match or going to a match or how do you, you know, what do you think of Pineda?
The community.
And the yeah, and like I love having those conversations, and then we all talk about the same shit about the match. So if 2/3 of this show is all scuttlebutt, I'd like that. Like that was the genesis of this show anyway. We all pretty much have the same mind, hive mind, when it comes to the Sounders and what we want to see. But anyway, if you want to support the show, Patreon. Right there, supporter section, as I called it. And you don't have to. Right now, there's nothing exclusive on there. It's just, if you want to, drop it in. Otherwise, keep listening every single week. We might be doing some one-on-one interviews we've talked about. That can maybe be something that is just exclusive. But right now, this is just how we want to do it. And if you want to support, go to the supporters section. And the link is in the show description.
Drop in your Rule 34 fan art. You know, it'll be great.
What's Rule 34 fan art? I feel like this is something that you think...
If you know, you know.
Are you going to tell me what this is?
Okay. Rule 34, the short version is, if it exists, there's porn of it. That's Rule 34.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, if you want to get
your... Well, I agree with that. I didn't know it was Rule 34.
You know, I mean, really, if we had a screenshot of Cameron's frozen screen, I mean, that's we're already halfway there.
Exclusive content.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Anyway, oh, Jesus Christ, he just flashed on my screen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
His chest. Oh, I should. I forgot. This is a podcast. I do not have to hit explicit again. That was beach legal, and we will be moving on. Nick, where can they? You're fucking. No, hold on. You're just about to show me your Nikita banana, which is your handle, which I'm going to lead into mine. It's just at Aaron Langley, AaronLangley, and James, please pull the ship into port.
You can follow the Sound of Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.